looking at the book of the church at Thyatira. And I'll just pick it up from verse 19. To this church, Jesus says, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Wow. Just like the church at Ephesus, full of good works, so busy doing the right things for the kingdom of God in this first church, in Ephesus, that they had forgotten their first love. They left it behind. And we can get caught up in works. We can get caught up in almost a political Christianity when the more works you do, the better saved you are. And it moves away from that relationship with Jesus, who we can do nothing without him. So we can be very busy doing nothing if we're not doing it out of obedience to Jesus. Some things he has us involved in, and it has to do with fixing things. And we like that part because we can understand that part and we can see that part. And other parts are, no, leave that alone. It's broken and it needs to stay broken for a while so that I will be able to fix it. That as well. Not an excuse for not reaching out, but paying attention to what he's doing, being involved as his instrument in it. You don't see scalpels jumping into the surgeon's hand in an operating room. He asks for the ones that he needs. And the nurse doesn't give him the wrong one. Or if she does, she'd probably lose her job. Maybe not right away. But there'd certainly be a rebuke over that because he asks for a certain one and he needs a certain one. And to be that certain one with Jesus in the world. So now in the church at Thyatira, they too have been consumed by the doing of good things. So busy with good things that they neglected the best thing. Because Jesus had to point out, you're doing fine, lots of works and everything, but, and if you don't fix it, the wheels are going to come off. And so he's seeing something that they were not seeing. In all of their working for God, they forgot the one work that God required of them. My brother had a fellow working for him. His name was Gordy. And my brother Tom asked him one time, he said, go get me up. And before he got up, finished, Gordy was gone. He just started running. And so my brother had to get the own tool that he wanted. And a few minutes later, he comes back all out of breath. He says, what was that you wanted? Eager to please to the point of not being useful. Pay attention. It's important. And my younger brother had this horse that was so nervous. If you know anything about horses, when they sweat, it's just kind of a white foam on their chest. And that's where it starts and the rest of the horse gets kind of wet, depending on how hard you work them. This horse could work himself into a white froth without ever running, just trying to stand still. He was always... Less than 5 minutes, he was all white, nervous. Because he wanted to run. He had something that he wanted to do. You try to take him. At one point, he had a habit of rearing up if he couldn't get what he wanted to. So he reared up and I hit him between the ears with a stick. But being a young fella, and it wasn't a very big stick, he went down and reared up again. So I hit him again. He went down and the third time he came up and he fell right over backwards, right on top of me. I still have the mark of 2 broken ribs. And if it wasn't for a horse saddle and a horse ring with a bit of sawdust, I'd be a dead man. But he wouldn't stop until the fellow, much bigger than me, with a much bigger stick, hit him hard enough a couple of times. And second time he went down and he's shaking his head like this. And when that man rode him, he never reared up again. And sometimes we can be like that. We just get so gung-ho, we're not even looking at Jesus anymore. We trust our programs to get us somewhere. And yet, without Jesus, we go nowhere. John 6, verses 28 and 29 really help to clarify what's needed here. Because everybody wants to know what's the will of God, right? John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. It's a common thing. What are the works of God? In John 6, 28, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Well, there must be more. Well, there is more. But there's nothing more if you're not doing that. Well, I believe in Jesus. Really? It really doesn't look like it from the way you worry about everything all the time. Where's your faith? Believe. Believe isn't a noun. It's a verb. It's an action word. Whose action? Jesus' action in your life. We looked at it last few weeks about Matthew chapter 11. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we looked at it from the point of view, not accepting Jesus into my life, but me walking into the life of Christ. Come unto me. Here, come here. Walk into this. And walk in this. What? The life of Christ. Doing what? Whatever the Father wants. Including nothing. As well as much. But all of it belonging to Him. Lazarus. With his disciples. Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Yeah, so I heard. No, I mean, like, really sick. Yeah, I heard that too. Well, shouldn't we go see him? Not yet. We'll go in a few days. They waited 4 days. Jesus, you missed the... If you went there, you'd have been healed. That's what his sisters told him. But no, he needed to be dead. So that Jesus could prove to Martha, beyond her belief, that he actually was the resurrection and the life. People have a hard time believing until God shows them. So he brought them to this place. Lazarus was fine. I don't know how he felt about all that, but he was fine in the end. And we'll be fine in the end if we trust Jesus in everything. If we start trying to fix it and make it work, it's not going to go well. Believing that Jesus died for us is just a statement until we enter into his life, which was given for us. This is what distinguishes religion from relationship. Religion is a belief about God, whereas relationship is doing things with God. Not you inviting him into your activity. No, God inviting you into his activity. To do it with Jesus. Then it doesn't matter, like it says at Capernaum, whether if you're a truck driver, a janitor, a plumber, or a surgeon, it doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus. And you're involved in his activity. And so there you are. I noticed as a truck driver, I shared this with you lots of times, I finally realized that driving truck was just something that God preoccupied with me until he set something up. That was really important. I shared Christ with a guy on a salt spring on a ferry one time, and I'm end of the day, and I'm smelling like diesel fuel and sweat, and we're talking in the truck, and we're just kind of talking back and forth. And at one point he stopped, he looked at me, he said, "I thought you were a truck driver." He said, "You're starting to sound like a preacher." And then pretty soon we lose track of what we are, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we are. It doesn't matter what we do. We just want to be with Jesus. Man, that is such a great place to be. You have nothing to prove. Nobody has to give you compliments. You don't have to be noticed. You don't have to have a plaque up of something you earned. Wow. I don't know about you, but one of the prayers for me is that, Lord, I just lose track of myself. Not do a poor job, but lose sight of myself under his shadow. And then you're able to do anything, anywhere, anytime he chooses. He chooses. Mel mentioned before that we took a picture, and Gary is here as well, and Michael was here, and they took a picture of the four of us. And we jokingly say, but I think it's true, we would be voted in school the four most likely to never succeed. It's true. It's absolutely true. But something I said to Jesus after I gave my life to him and I started finding out who he was, and I was just so overwhelmed that this is amazing. All the answers for life are in the Bible, and Jesus is always there. And so I said to him in a moment of passion, I said, "Lord, I don't care what you want, me to do, I'll do anything for you. I don't care what it is. And I could do nothing. And he kept that promise that I made. And I'm still the most unlikely to do half the things I do, never mind all of them. But he is there still doing it. I was talking with, who was I talking with the other day? Older people. Oh, it was at Bible study. No, I was there. I'm talking about the older people. And what I was sharing is that it's getting kind of confusing because I'm getting older. Each year, I'm a little older, and there's a few less things that I can do. And what is confusing is that every year, God is just as fresh, just as able, and wanting to do more through me than he did last year. And I find that very confusing. So rather than I'm dumb enough to not... I'm dumb enough to trust him in it all. And so he has this to do, and so I just stick my neck out, and he does it, and it doesn't stop. I find that very confusing. And so then I stop thinking that I'm anything. Jesus is everything. And so whatever he asks me to do, he is prepared to accomplish. Then I woke up in the night with this thought. It's the first time I ever wrote anything down. Usually I just go back to sleep and tell him to remind me in the morning until I realize he's not going to do that. So this time, and it wasn't that big of a thing, but to me it was profound. It doesn't take a whole lot to impress me. Anyway, this was it. I'm never sure exactly what God's up to, but I'm completely convinced that he's the only one that's up to it. That's big. That's really big. I hang my hat on it. That's where I want to live. I don't care how old I am. You might care how old I am. You can fire me one day if you want because I'm too old. But I probably won't stop preaching until I breathe my last. Cape and Race founder, I saw him in Calgary. I'll just close this remark. Saw him in a church in Calgary. They sent me an email, said that Major Ian Thomas was coming to their church to preach and wanted to know if we wanted to go. And so I said, can't be, he's got to be 90 years old. So I phoned up the church and said, I got this invitation, is that right? And he said, yeah, he's coming. I said, he can't be, he's 90 years old. Yes, he's 90 years old and he's coming. So I went just to see if he could do it. That was it. I mean, I'd seen him preach lots of times and great message. So got some people from the church and away we went. And there he is. Sitting in a chair at a card table up on the front of the church. He always stood, preached like this all the time, always thumbing through the pages in his Bible. And there he was, sitting in a chair, preaching a message, never missed a beat. Same message, solid, perfect, no notes, just his Bible, 90 years old. I'm depressed and thinking there's no hope for retirement. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there this morning. I realize the sermon was a little short, but we had some very interesting information that we needed to know. Thank you for sharing that, girls. That was just wonderful.